Chodesh Tov, and welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Shkalim, the 30th day of the month of Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Thank you so much, my friend Avi and colleague Rabbi Avi Heller, for filling in for me yesterday in my absence. And as always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit OU.org/call. That's OU.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Andrew Markowitz of Congregation Shomrei Torah in Fairlawn, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Markowitz slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Kaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishavirach Lecholim and Achenu. It's been a while since we had Rabbi Markowitz on the call. I believe it was all the way back in March in our very, very early infant days of this call. So we will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Markowitz to learn more about his amazing community in Fairlawn. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Markowitz.
Thank you so much, Naftali, for this honor. Yasher Koach to all you do on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much. Thank you also to Rabbi Hauer and Rabbi Josh Joseph, leadership at the OU, Yasher Koach, for their continued leadership and wisdom and guidance that they give all of us throughout all of our communities. And for just everybody here, good Ner Shabbos, good Chodesh. It feels so great to say that. Misha Nechnas Adar Maru B'Simcha. You know, it's a month of excitement, a month of Simcha. And just to say those words and to hear the music as this call began, you know, lifted me up and got me even more excited for the time that we're in, and we should share times and moments and opportunities for Simcha together. The Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li Ubasa Basada Trefa Lo Sochelu La Kelev Kashlichanu So. The Torah tells us, the Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, you shall be a people of Kedusha, of holiness unto me. Ubasar basada trefa lo sochelu, you shall not eat. You're prohibited to eat a trefa animal. We'll get back to that in a moment. And instead of eating that trefa animal, give it to your dog. A trefa animal, that's where the word trefa comes from, the colloquial word trefa that we use for non-kosher, comes from this pasuk. But literally, by the technical sense, the word trefa refers to any animal that will not live within a year, will die within a year due to an illness. It is not kosher, even if ultimately it is shechted appropriately. The Torah tells us, you shall be a holy people. You shall not eat this trefa animal. And instead, you shall give it to the dog. Now, I have two questions on this pasuk. Number one is, what does the first half have to do with the second half? We should be, and we're commanded, we're charged to be a holy people, a holy nation, and a holy individual. What does it have to do with the trefa, not eating the non-kosher? Secondly, I get that I can't eat it. Why am I instructed or commanded even to give it to my kelev, to give it to my dog? What is the message in this pasuk for all of us? I'd like to share with you a beautiful insight from the Das Zakenim Miba'alei Tosfos. I'd be honored if you share this tonight at your Shabbos table. The Das Zakenim Miba'alei Tosfos is a compilation of commentary on the Torah written by the grandchildren of Rashi HaKadosh. They write and explain that we have to know, before we understand what they're saying, we have to know a little bit about shepherding flocks. It used to be, or even today, we don't relate to it too much. We don't have flocks to shepherd in the literal sense, but there was a the way that flocks would be protected was that they would have something called a dog, a sheepdog. This dog would serve to protect and serve as a barrier between the sheep, the flock, and any animals and that would come in and try to attack the sheep. Usually wolves would try to attack the sheep, and this dog would run around in circles to protect and to bark and to scream and to yell at these wolves to protect the sheep from the, you know, from getting hurt from these wolves. The Dashikanim say here what happened in this moment, in this pasuk. The context is that this dog loses, he slips up, he messes up, he's sleeping on the job, he misses a wolf, and as a result, one of the sheep is mauled. One of the sheep is seriously injured, or even it dies. And our result, or our natural reaction to somebody who does something for us and then messes up terribly, you know, ruins the flock. You know, our natural reaction is that we should punish them. We say to this dog, no dinner tonight, start. It says that that's the Canaan, but the Torah is telling us here, this is not just any dog. This is your sheepdog who has been so good to you for so many years. And 99 out of 100 times, they get it right. And they do right by you, and they protect your assets. They protect your flock, and they do everything that is asked and expected of them. So the Dasa Kanim says, Lo tia kofoi tova kenegdo, chikshiela trefa, at this moment, when as human beings we would say, get out of here, I don't want to see you, find your own food tonight for dinner, we say, and we're instructed and commanded, don't believe kafei tova. Acknowledge and recognize the gratitude that we should have for this dog, for all the times that they did do the right job, and reward them with this sheep as their dinner. So the Torah is telling us, not only should we not penalize the dog, but rather the same sheep that was killed because of his mistake, you should give as dinner to the dog, as a karas tov, as a token of gratitude for all he has done for you in the past. All too often, we are so quick to criticize anybody that does something wrong in our midst. And especially these days when we find ourselves literally living on top of everybody else in our homes. When a staff forgets the one thing that you ask them to pick up on the way home, or in a teacher who is teaching your children every single day, day in, day out, does or says something to our children that we don't necessarily agree with. Or when a child does something that you ask them to do 100 times, and they do it. The Torah is telling us to stop and reflect. Stop. Don't criticize, but recognize. Don't complain. Appreciate. To recognize and to appreciate every time that they got it right, instead of reacting instinctively at this one time that they got it wrong. There's a story here from Rav Shaul Reisman in one of his great books called Pathway of the Prophets, which really drives this point home. He says that he received a letter from a congregant, the following story. The ceiling collapsed in my laundry room, he shares, and for a long time they had a nice sized hole in the ceiling. And the man writes, he had two options. He could hire somebody for about $200 and who could fix the hole on his own, a professional. Or he can go to Home Depot or Lowe's, wherever you live, buy two pieces of sheetrock and insulation for $20, and he could do it himself. Of course, I chose the latter option. Things proceeded nicely, but I lacked a very important instrument that I should buy the next time I do renovations, a level. It's very hard to cut sheetrock without a level. Instead, I use my son's school ruler. Don't try this at home. And so he writes, I finished the job, or at least I thought I finished the job. I accidentally left a rectangular hole in the ceiling. I have neither the patience nor the strength to go out again. Buy and cut a third piece of sheetrock to cover the hole. I was done with this job. So naturally what happens next is that my wife walks into the laundry room. My wife looks at the hole. I look at the hole. I look at my wife and she looks at me. And I know I have to think fast. I look back at the hole and I point and tell my wife the following. You know, there's a minhag to the Jewish people 2,000 years ago. We lost our Beis HaMikdash. And because, you know, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem, every single home has to have a Zecha L'Chorban, an Amal Amah, square cubit hole in every single Jewish home to remember that our lives are not complete without the Beis HaMikdash in our lives. And she says, and that's the hole up there. And my wife, calmly, turns to me and says, I think the whole ceiling is a Zecha L'Chorban. How many of us would have reacted so calmly in that way? Many of us are living on top of everyone else in our homes, and at times, this can be very challenging. The Torah is instructing us, Lakela Tashlichun Uso, to give ourselves space and time to reflect. Is it really worth it? Did he or she really offend me? And even if they did, is it really worth it for every other time that they did it right? And I believe this is why the pasuk begins with Anshe Kodesh Tiyuli. We shall be a holy people. If we can become people, when faced with the imperfections of others, even hurt caused by others, can look instead at the big picture, to realize that the relationship that we have is defined by so much more than this one oversight, this one mistake or mishap. It is way more important than the petty argument or even the rectangular hole in the ceiling. This then leads to us becoming Anshe Kodesh, people of true sanctity. People are able to rise above their natural instincts, people who live a life of Kedusha. And as we enter the time of Simcha, the time of joy in our life, may we use this message. And as Bezrat Hashem, we hopefully look optimistically towards the future. At this pandemic, hopefully is slowly moving towards back to normalcy. Maybe take this lesson and this meaning into our own life, Vakela Tashrichan or so, recognize and appreciate with true gratitude all the people in our lives. And instead of looking at them in the negative light, give them a Yasher Koach, give them a thanks, even when they don't deserve it, and thank them for everything that they do right. Wish everybody a good Chodesh and a great Shabbos. Thank you for this opportunity and thank you for listening. We're going to continue now with Tehillim. We'll begin first with Perek Chaf Gimel, Perek 23, Psalm 23 in Tehillim. Mizmor LeDavid. Adonai ro'i lo echzar. Vinos desha yarbiteni. Ame menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev. Yancheni b'magli tzedek l'ma'an shemo. Gam ki eilech b'geitz ha'maves. Lo ira ra ki atayim adi. Shiftecha mishantecha hema yinachamuni. Tarokh Lafane Shokhan Negeto Rai, Ishanta Beshevan Roshi, Kosi Revaya, Achto Vachese Yurdefuni, Koyeme Chayai, the Shafti Vives Adonai, Maorech Yamin. Tuf Chaf Aleph, Shehillim 121. Shirlama Alos, Esa Enai El Arim, Me'ayin yavo Ezri. Ezri mi'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aret.
Hayitem lamot reglecha, al yanum shamrecha. Hine lo yanum vela yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shamrecha, Adonai simcha, ayad yinecha. Yoman ha-shemesh lo yakeka, v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzichcha v'echa, me'ata v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed, 130. Shir ha-ma'los, mima makim karasicha Adonai. Adonai shim'a be'koli, yenes becha kashivos, l'kol tachlinai. Im avonos tishmor ya, Adonai mi ya'amod. Gimcha asicha, l'ma'an tivarei. Yivisi Adonai ki v'sa nafshi, v'lid varo hokalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, nishamrim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael l'Adonai, kim Adonai yachased, v'harbei imo fedus. Vehu yifta es Yisrael mikol avonostas. Now we recite the Mishaberach v'cholim. I will pause. Everyone can recite the names of those cholim. I ask you to please include two young women in your tfilos, Shira bas Devor Leah and Rivka bas Shoshana. Mishaberach avoseinu, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, David Shlomo, Yivarech Yirape, Esachoma. Bavor Shekal HaKadosh HaZem Yispalel Ba'aviram. Yischar zeh Kadosh Baruch Hu yamalei rachamim aleihem, lachlimam leraposam, lachzikam lechiosam, yishlach lehem mehira fuah shlema min hashamayim, leramach evarav ushasagidav, b'soshar chol Yisrael, refuas hanefesh, refuas haguf, hashta bagala bizman kariv, v'nomar, amen. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim betzorim v'shivya, ha'omdim bein bayam uvein bayavasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzi'ein mitzara l'rivacha, me'aseva liora, mishiba l'geula, hashta bagala bizman kariv, v'nomar, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Markowitz, as we transition into the next segment of our call on this short Friday. First and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank God. Baruch Hashem, we're doing okay. You know, really, the message of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, taking things by day, is something that I think we like to say, but we don't, you know, yes, we like to say it, but we don't really act it, and I don't think we have a choice these days. I have a bunch of kids, you know, and every day it's a bracha. They get to go to school when they can, managing quarantines, potential quarantines. You know, so that within itself is challenging, but, you really feel, you get the sense that we're all in this together. We've learned a lot more patience, during this time. I think we've seen, you know, last time we spoke was in March. I think we've texted personally, the two of us, but, the last time I was on this call with March, and it's a very different picture within our community. At that time, there were Tehillim rallies every single day. We had significant amount of people that were ill. Baruch Hashem, we experienced significant miracles. And we also lost really special people within our community. You know, it's really crazy to think it's been 11 months since that shutdown, almost 11 months. Since that moment. And, you know, and we're, you know, trying to get everybody vaccinated. We have an amazing chesed committee calling people, making appointments. I've seen so much resilience and I've really seen so much creativity and outpouring of love and support for neighbors. I've seen relationships been created
between older and younger segments and populations in our community, and have resulted as a result of this pandemic, which has been a tremendous bracha. We try to look for the brachos and the special opportunities and amazing creativity. Torah learning has been on the rise, and we're trying slowly to get back to normalcy, to whatever that means. And we're doing our best along with everybody else.
One foot in front of the other, yom yom, certainly so. I'm certainly grateful to hear that everyone is doing well now, but it has not been an easy 11 months. I think I shared on the call previously earlier this week that during Rosh Chodesh benching, this past Shabbos, as the Chazan said, Rosh Chodesh Adar, the tears just started flowing down my face. The recognition that we're coming up on a somber anniversary of when this all really began. And I think that was also part of my thought process, literally at 12:59 Eastern Time, as I was getting ready for the call, quickly to go onto YouTube and find a Misha Nichmas Adar Marzen Simcha tune. And I debated back and forth, is it the appropriate right thing to do on this call? And hopefully everyone will forgive me. I thought it was the right.
Yeah.
I think so. And that's, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off. Last night after Maariv, we have a late Maariv that was, we usually have, I would say, for the past many, many years in the shul, a late Maariv at 9 o'clock at night. And then slowly we're getting back our regular minyanim that we used to have before Corona. And after Maariv, with our 15 people that were in shul, we sang Misha Nechaz Adar together. It was very, some people were ready to, run out after we say Tehillim after davening. Usually you run out right afterwards to get back home, especially on a Thursday night, to prepare for cooking, get ready for Shabbos. But people were stopped, and we just sang. We didn't dance, not yet. We're not there yet. But we're able to sing together, and we need to take advantage and opportunity of, those simchas when we can. Even in my house last night, we danced with my kids. I think it's so important, so important. It makes it more meaningful.
Real. It's true. You're 100% right. And we did similarly last night at the one of our later Maariv last night that I attended. I covered myself in that right before Elenu. I walked over to another individual in shul, who one of the other chazanim who I knew would back me up just in case, or at the very least, I want to be the only guy standing there singing. But I imagine that there were probably many shuls around the country. We're just so excited that Adar is here. And that Purim is coming. So we don't have so much time. It's the Erev Shabbos, but to get us started, to give our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, we have good friends who daven at your shul. I have a sister and my brother-in-law and their family who live on the other side of Fair Lawn. But if you can, give us a little bit of an overview of Shomrei Torah and the community in general.
Okay, how many hours do we have?
You got it.
Okay, so
Shabbos starts for you much earlier than it does for me.
That is very true. So I would say, in a succinct way, we are a diverse, heterogeneous, and multi-generational shul. Rabbi Yudin and Chevi Yudin started and founded Shomrei Torah a little over 50 years ago. They are still they retired. I took over the shul. But they are still very much a part of the shul and the everyday functions. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yudin still gives us shiurim. And that warmth, that love, that Yudin name really permeates the building and the entire community. We're Beshita, a heterogeneous and diverse place. We love and embrace the differences that everybody has. And we've seen an influx in the past 10 years of about, 150, 200 young families that have moved in to our shul and more numbers to the broader community in general, which has been amazing in the Fairland community. And we are also, and it's sort of like an out-of-town feel within this broader Bergen County community. We're 10 minutes away from Teaneck, 15 minutes from Passaic. We have amazing school options, really, I think, the best in the country. So many different options and opportunities. And when a family, young family is looking to move in, I say to them, by definition, we send our children to all the schools, to all the schools in the town, which really shows the diversity of our population. And even, you know, programming wise, we have retiree learning program, which now meets Sunday through Friday morning. We have a robust youth program. We have a Jeopardy program tomorrow night for the youth program. We have a team minion every single Shabbos, even during Corona. We have Baruch Hashem. There is so much going on, and there's so much growth that we feel and a vibrancy within the community. That's the short version. Anyone's welcome to call me for the longer pitch and longer version. You can reach out to me.
It's all true. I know it firsthand and secondhand as well, with hearing from so many. It's interesting. First of all, I have to recognize the Udins as well, incredibly special people and for the community that they built and just continued to be a part of, but now guided by you and your Rebbetzin. But it's a little fun fact. I'm probably going to have trouble with my wife for saying this out loud, but we, every now and then we have this conversation. You know, if we hadn't moved down to Boca, or if we ever moved back to the tri-state, you know, where would we live? I mean, we think about all the different communities, and I might get in trouble now with our shared friend and Rebbe Chaim Marcus, that I wouldn't be living in Springfield. But the Fair Lawn is always the one that comes up on top, if the two of us agree on really is an amazing community. Next question for you, Rebbe Markowitz.
Yeah, we're going to be in touch then. Okay. Yeah.
You and I were in yeshiva together over 20 years ago. I knew you way before, but what motivated, what drove you to go into the pulpit, to become a rabbi and become the rav of a shul more specifically?
It's a great question. I think about it a lot. I was not one of these people. Maybe some people are on the call that know this about me. I was not one of these people that went to high school even after Israel and said, this is where I'm going. This is my direction. But I believe there are two things, really one midah that guides me. It's really a love. I have a love and passion for people. And at a certain point in my life, I fell in love with Torah. I fell in love with not just learning Torah, but living a life of Torah. And when you love something, you want to share that with other people. And that's really what I feel is what drove me to become a leader in a community and to be involved in an amazing community like Shomrei Torah, like in Fair Lawn. And it's these two aspects, love of people and getting to know people, sitting down and getting to know them in their most amazing and special moments, and then in their challenging moments, and also the love of Torah, to be able to share Torah, be able to share the life of Torah in so many different ways is really what permeates and a lot of what I do.
And once again, I could attest to the 100% the impact and the love you have for people on Torah, and the impact that you're really having in the community. Really, really incredible and speaks for itself. Last question for you, very much collectively on the minds of everyone, very much so for rabbis and synagogue leadership.
Yeah.
With all the changes due to the pandemic, what communal changes do you anticipate for your community, for Shomrei Torah, and perhaps even for the broader Jewish community? None of us have a crystal ball. We don't know what the future brings. If anything, COVID has maybe humbled us in that there's always uncertainty, that we don't know what's to come tomorrow, and that there is that yom yom as you began the call. But when you think about, you know, maybe some of the takeaways, or what's something that we can, you know, look forward to perhaps?
It's a great question. I think about it a lot. I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know what's going to be. But I'm dating myself a drop. I teach in Nala High School also. So my students totally don't get this mashal. But you know, when we grew up, Naftali, we had a computer, and you needed to fix the computer. So the way to, you know, the best way to fix any computer was to reset it. You press Control Alt Delete, and that somehow magically fixed the computer. You know, so I feel that in many ways, this pandemic put a Control Alt Delete on every part of our lives. And cause us to reflect and say, hey, what's needed, what's necessary, or, you know, or what were we doing because we just felt like we had to do it. Like, we did this last year, we have to do it again, it's expected of us. And we didn't do it last year. We didn't have a a regular lead up to Pesach. We didn't have a shvuas as we would have expected. We didn't have regular shul dinners, or even the minyanim, or how the minyanim are run. So I'm slowly having conversations. I think the greatest way to do this is to really talk to the people in our community. I didn't mention this before, but last year was my first year as the Rav of the community. I have been in the shul for 10 years, but I started September 2019. My installation was supposed to be that Sunday, right after Shushan Purim, right after Purim. And my installation was you know, closed down. Obviously, we had it in August instead. And my lead up to taking over the shul is that I met with almost the entire shul. I gave out in small groups, asked them, what do you want? What are we doing? What can we do better? How can we change it? How do you see Shomrei Torah in 5 or 10 years from now? So I plan and anticipate to have those conversations again. I'm already, you know, and I think it's obvious to everybody that we need to be a little bit more creative. It's obvious to everybody that all of our shiurim, whether they're going to be live and in person, there needs to be an element of virtual, whether it's Zoom or something else, that's a given. We see so many more people learning Torah from their kitchens and from their couches than ever before, which is amazing. And the necessity at the same time that people crave being together. We need it. We need it so bad. Any small program we did, we had shiurim in my backyard and in my front lawn throughout the summer. And people just, it wasn't necessarily about the Torah, it was just coming together. And we have to think about that in that way, coming together for the sake of coming together. And how important that is to Jewish communal life. I don't have any specifics. I mean, we could talk about this again also for an hour at Erev Shabbos. I think that's my broad. I want to reach out to my community members and, you know, and ask them how they envision the shul moving forward. What changes would they like to see within the davening, within the regular, and within beyond? And how can we be creative moving forward to use this as an opportunity of growth and to take this challenge, this crisis, and turn it into an opportunity? That's what's on my mind. And I'm sure changes...
I think many are like-minded and are thinking this way, and there is that reset, there's that reimagination, and I've been having similar conversations across the country what were some of the positives of, you know, perhaps davening has become quieter due to social distancing, or maybe there's certain components of davening that, you know, that we're able to tweak a little bit, obviously respecting our Mesorah, but really it is that opportunity for us to really kind of rethink, you know, really every aspect of our lives. Leigh Markowitz, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your amazing community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good. And may the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Ari Hart of the Skokie Valley, Agudas Jacob Synagogue in Skokie, Illinois. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, meaningful, restful, healthy, and safe Shabbat. Chodesh Tov.